12 of these rows with 5 left over, and he had a year. He made the final mark in the last set and stepped back. A year took up half the side of a server. It was hard to believe a whole year had gone by. A year of living in the half level below the servers. He knew this couldn't last. Imagining the other servers covered in scratches was too much to bear. His dad had said there was enough food for 10 years for 2 or 4 people. He couldn't remember which. That meant at least 20 with him all alone. 20 years. He stepped around the edge of the server and looked down the aisle between the rows. The massive silver door sat at the very end. At some point, he knew he would have to go out. He would go crazy if he didn't. He was already going crazy. The days were much too full of the same. He went to the door and listened for some sound on the other side. It was quiet, as it sometimes was, but he could still hear faint bangs echo from his memory. Jimmy thought about entering the 4 numbers and peeking outside. It was the worst sensation imaginable, not being able to see what was on the other side. When the camera screens had stopped working, Jimmy had felt a primal sense stripped away. He was left with a strong urge to open the door, to crack an eyelid held shut for too long. A year of counting days, of counting minutes within those days. A boy could only count so long. He left the keypad alone. Not yet. There were bad people out there, people who wanted in, who wanted to know what was in there, why the power on the level still worked, who he was. "I'm nobody," Jimmy told them when he had the courage to talk. "Nobody." He didn't have that courage often. He felt brave just listening to the men with the other radios fight, brave enough to allow their arguments to fill his world and his head, to hear them argue and report about who had killed whom. One group was working on the farms, another was trying to stop the floods from creeping out of the mines and drowning mechanical. One had guns and took whatever little bit the others were able to squeeze together. A lone woman called once and screamed for help. But what help could Jimmy be? By his figuring, there were 100 or more people out there in little pockets, fighting and killing. But they would stop soon. They had to. Another day. A year. They couldn't go on fighting forever, could they? Maybe they could. Time had become strange. It was a thing believed rather than seen. He had to trust that time was passing at all. There was no dimming of the stairwell and lights out to signify the coming night. No trips to the top and the glow of sunshine to tell that it was day. There were simply numbers on a computer screen, counting so slowly one could scream. Numbers that looked the same day and night. It took careful counting to know a day had passed. The counting let him know that he was alive. Jimmy thought about playing chase between the servers before he went to bed, but he had done that yesterday. He thought about arranging cans and the order he would eat them, but he already had 3 months' worth of meals lined up. There was target practice, books to read, a computer to fiddle with, chores to do, but none of that sounded like fun. He knew he would probably just crawl into bed and stare at the ceiling until the numbers told him it was tomorrow. He would think about what to do then. Chapter 76. Weeks passed. Scratches accumulated, and the tip of the key around Jimmy's neck wore down. He woke to another morning with crust in his eyes, as though he'd been crying in his sleep, and took his breakfast, 1 can of peaches and 1 of pineapple, up to the great steel door to eat. Unshouldering his gun, Jimmy sat down with his back against server number 8, enjoying the warmth of the busy machine against his spine. The gun had taken some figuring out. His father had disappeared with the loaded one, and when Jimmy discovered the crates of arms and ammo, the method of inserting the bright casings into the machine had posed a puzzle. He made the task a project, like his father had used to make their chores and tinkering. Ever since he was little, Jimmy had watched his dad disassemble computers and other electronics, laying out all the pieces, each screw, every bolt, the nuts spun back onto the bolts, in a neat pattern, so he knew where they went again. Jimmy had done the same with one of the rifles. And then with a second rifle, after he'd accidentally knocked the pieces from the first with his boot. With the second, he saw where the ammo ended up and how it got there. The spring in the ammo holder was stiff, which made it difficult to load. Later he learned that this was called a clip, after reading the entry for gun under G in the tins full of books. That had come weeks after he'd figured out how the thing worked on his own, with a hole in the ceiling to show for it. He kept the gun in his lap, across his thighs, and balanced the cans of fruit on the wide part of the stock. The pineapple was his favourite. He had some every day, and watched with sadness as the supply on the shelves dwindled. He'd never heard of such a fruit, had to look the thing up in another of the books. The pineapples had led him on a dizzying tour through the book tins. B-E for beach had led to O-C for ocean. This one confused him with its sense of scale. And then, the fish under F. He had forgotten to eat that day, as he explored, and the room with the radio and his little mattress had become cluttered with open books and empty tins. It had taken him a week to get things back in order. Countless times since then, he had lost himself in such excursions. Pulling his rusty can opener and favourite fork from his breast pocket, Jimmy worked the peaches open. There was the whispering pop of air as he made the first cut. Jimmy had learned not to eat the contents if it didn't make that pop. Luckily, the toilets had still been in operation back when he'd learned that lesson. Jimmy missed the toilets, something fierce. He worked his way through the peaches, savouring each bite before drinking down the juice. He wasn't sure if you were supposed to drink that part. The label didn't say, but it was his favourite. He grabbed the pineapples and his opener, was listening for the pop of air, when he heard the keypad on the great steel door beep. "Little early," he whispered to his visitors. He set the can aside, licked his fork, and put it back in his breast pocket. Cradling the gun against his armpit, he sat and watched for the door to move. One crack, and he would open fire. Instead, he heard four beeps from the keypad as a set of numbers was entered, followed by a buzz to signal that it was the wrong code. Jimmy tightened his grip on the gun while they tried again. The screen on the keypad only had room for four digits. That meant 10,000 combinations if you included all zeros. The door allowed three incorrect attempts before it wouldn't take any more until the following day. Jimmy had learned these things a long time ago. He felt as if his mom had taught him this rule, but that was impossible, unless she'd done it in a dream. He listened to the keypad beep with another guess, and then buzz once again. One more number down, which meant time was running out. 1218 was the code. Jimmy cursed himself for even thinking the number. His finger went to the trigger, waiting. But thoughts couldn't be heard. You had to speak to be heard. He tended to forget this, because he heard himself thinking all the time. The third and final attempt for the day began, and Jimmy couldn't wait to eat his pineapples. He, and these people, had this routine. These three tries every morning. Though scary, it was his only daily dose of human contact, and he had come to rely on its regularity. On the server behind him, he had done the math, He assumed they had started at 0000 and were working their way up. Three a day meant they would stumble on the right code on day 406 on the second try. That was less than a month away. But Jimmy's counting didn't figure for everything. There was the lingering fear that they might skip some numbers, that they had started somewhere else, or that they might get lucky if they were inputting the codes at random. For all Jimmy knew, more than one code could open the door, and since he didn't pay attention to how his father had changed the code, he couldn't move it higher. And what if that only got them closer? Maybe they started at 9999. He could move it lower, of course, hoping to pass one they'd already tried. But what if they hadn't tried it yet? To take action and let them in by accident would be worse than doing nothing and then dying. And Jimmy didn't want to die. He didn't want to die, and he didn't want to kill anyone. This is how his brain whirled as the next four digits were entered. When the keypad buzzed for the third and final time that day, he relaxed his grip on the gun. Jimmy wiped his sweaty palms off his thighs and picked up his pineapples. "Hello, pineapples," he whispered. He bent his head toward his lap and punctured the can, listening closely. The pineapples whispered back. They told him they were safe to eat. Chapter 77. Life, at its essence, Jimmy learned, was a series of meals and bowel movements. There was some sleep mixed in as well, but little effort was required for that. He didn't learn his great rule of the world until the water stopped flushing. Nobody thinks about their bowel movements until the water stops flushing, and then it's all one thinks about. Jimmy started going in the corner of the server room, as far from the door as possible. He peed in the sink until the tap ran out of water and the smell got bad. Once that happened, he tapped into the cistern. The order told him which page to look on and what to do. It was a dreadfully boring book, but handy at times. Jimmy figured that was the point. The water in the cistern wouldn't last forever, though, so he took to drinking as much of the juice in the bottom of the cans as he could. He hated tomato soup, but he drank a can every day. His pee turned bright orange. Jimmy was draining the last drops out of a can of apples one morning when the men came to try their codes. It happened so fast. Four numbers, and the keypad beeped. It didn't buzz. It didn't bark or scream or sound angry. It beeped, and a light long red, red for as long as Jimmy could remember, flashed brilliant and scary green. Jimmy startled. The open can of peaches on his knee leapt away and tumbled to the ground, juice splashing everywhere. It was 2 days early for this. It was 2 days early. The great steel door made noises. Jimmy dropped his fork and fumbled with the gun. Safety off. A click with his thumb. A thunk from the door. Voices. Voices. Excitement on one side. Dread on the other. He pulled the gun against his shoulder and wished he'd practiced yesterday. Tomorrow. Tomorrow was when he was gonna get ready. They were 2 days too early. The door made noises, and Jimmy wondered if he'd missed a day or two. There was the time he'd gotten sick and had a fever. There was the day he fell asleep reading and couldn't remember what day it was when he woke. Maybe he'd missed a day. Maybe the people in the hall had skipped a number. The door opened a crack. Jimmy wasn't ready. His palms were slick on the gun, his heart racing. This was one of those things expected and expected, expected so hard, with so much fervor and concentration, like blowing up a plastic bag over and over, watching it stretch out big and thin in front of your eyes, knowing it was about to burst, knowing, knowing, and when it comes, it scares you, as if it had never been expected at all. This was one of those things. The door opened further. There was a person on the other side, a person. And for a moment, for the briefest of pauses, Jimmy reconsidered a year of planning, a calendar of fear. Here was someone to talk to and listen to, someone to take a turn with the screwdriver and hammer now that the can opener was broke. Someone with a new can opener, perhaps. Here was a project partner, like his dad used to. A face. A man with an angry sneer. A year of planning, of shooting empty tomato cans, of ringing ears and reloading, of oiling barrels and reading, and now a human face and a crack in the door. Jimmy pulled the trigger. The barrel leapt upward, and the angry sneer turned to something else. Startlement mixed with sorrow. The man fell down. But another was pushing past him, bursting into the room, something black in his hand. Again the barrel leapt and leapt, and Jimmy's eyes blinked with the bangs.